Prayer is a staple in the lives of millions of Americans and billions of people around the world. Here in the U.S., it is even often part of many civic and political events. We even have a national holiday dedicated to giving thanks to God for his blessings upon us individually and as a nation. But how well do we understand prayer? Why do so many struggle to have a consistent prayer life? Are there right and wrong ways to do it? And how does it change us and our relationship with God? Joining me now is Pastor Timothy Keller of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City. He is the author of the new book, Prayer, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God. And Pastor Keller, it's a great pleasure to have you with us. Thank you.
Thanks for asking me here.
Many people believe in prayer, as you point out in the book, even if they don't really have any concrete religious beliefs. What does that tell us about how we're designed and what our natural instincts might be towards God?
That's a great question. Some Christian theologians, and they all spoke Latin, of course. That's why I'm going to give you a Latin word. talked about the sensus divinitatis, which means the sense of the divine. That they believe that all human beings have it. Some repress it. Romans 1 says some people repress it, and some people repress it a long way and say, I have no belief in God at all. But that most people have an instinct that there's something bigger out there, and also that we are dependent on it. And in times of insufficiency, when we feel we don't have the wisdom, we don't have the ability, we don't have the strength to do something, when we feel insufficient, we just instinctively reach out to that greater, higher power.
Pastor, it's in those times of crisis that it seems to be a greater instinct. So for those who do have deep faith, why is consistent prayer such a challenge?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I think the instinct of prayer is there. But at the same time, the practice of prayer on the other end is very, very difficult because we don't like being insufficient. That's the answer. See, the sense of insufficiency, like you said, like in a foxhole, you know, the old proverb about people in foxholes pray. When you're feeling insufficient, it leads you to pray, but nobody likes to stay in that condition. And because we want to be self-sufficient, we feel like we should be self-sufficient. And so we actually don't find prayer in another sense very comforting or satisfying. So it's actually difficult on one, it's instinctive but difficult because we are insufficient, but we don't like not feeling self-sufficient.
There are different points in Scripture where God points out that he will not hear the prayers of those who do not obey him, both in the Old and New Testament that's suggested. So how, if at all, does God view the prayers of believers and non-believers or disobedient believers differently?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, it says in the Psalms, it says, if I cherish iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. But we also have a couple of interesting other places. We have a place like in Jonah's the book of Jonah, chapter 3, the Ninevites, who are not believers, they're not in the covenant, they're not circumcised, and they God tells them he's going to destroy them. They cry out, and God hears their prayer. And in 1 Kings chapter 26, Ahab, who is a very, very, very wicked king, who does not believe in, you know, just is just very, very evil and disobedient, he cries out and God hears him. And so most of the, I think what that means is that God does not, if you're not praying in Jesus' name, God is under no obligation to hear your prayer. If you don't have faith in Christ, if you're not praying in Jesus' name, he is under no obligation to hear. But sometimes, just out of his mercy and in his wisdom, he does.
We're talking with Pastor Tim Keller. The book is Prayer, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God. And Pastor, in this book, you explain how you struggled with this very much yourself, and it really wasn't until around 9/11 when some other personal events entered into your life as well, including a cancer diagnosis, that your wife kind of said, now we need to really get serious about this. So talk about that change and what that change has meant to you in terms of experiencing that awe and intimacy.
Yes, I was never disciplined enough about prayer until my wife gave me an illustration, which is in the book. She says, imagine that a doctor told you you had a fatal disease, or it would be fatal if you didn't take a medicine. And what if he said to you, every night at 11 o'clock you have to take a pill, and if you forget or you don't take that pill, you'll be dead by morning? And she said, would you ever forget that pill? Would you ever say, oh, I was too busy? Or I just didn't remember it. No, you would never forget. and you would never miss because you knew you had to. And then she said, well, we have to pray. And the reason why we're constantly saying, oh, I got too tired, is because we really don't believe we have to pray. We really don't believe it. And if we believed we had to pray, if we believed it was absolutely as necessary for us to make it in life and to have a relationship with God and to be what God wants us to be, if we see that it's absolutely necessary, we're going to do it every night. And you know what? The penny dropped for me at that point with that story. And I said, you're right. And it hit me how important it was, and it really made a big change.
In the Bible, Pastor Keller, we see prayers of thanksgiving, prayers for God to act, prayers extolling the greatness of God, and there are kind of different schools of thought on how we should approach it today. You've got the acronym approach of acts and pray, and then others say, just come and pour your heart out before God and let him know that you want him to change you and just unburden yourself on what's on your heart. Some say that going through the acronyms is legalistic. Others say, no, that helps you, organize things, and that's not a problem. So what do you advocate?
Yep. Seriously, I really mean that. Running through an acronym like, okay, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, so it's a discipline. Just pouring your heart out, just saying, here's what's on my heart. Written prayers, where you actually take some prayer out of a prayer book, and spontaneous prayers, you really do need to do all those things. That's why I said yes. There needs to be a balance of that. It shouldn't all be one or shouldn't all be the other. They're all valid, they're all important, and they actually, you almost need a balanced diet of those things.
We just had an election, Pastor Keller, and in some of the exit polls, folks were very pessimistic about their future, very pessimistic about what the next generation will encounter, and obviously we kind of see a coarsening of the culture in many ways. How badly does our nation need to turn to God and need to turn to prayer?
Well, our nation doesn't. Our public culture now doesn't even respect religion much. They see it as a problem. And I'll tell you, at the very, very least, there needs to be respect for people of faith, or we're really going to be going in a very, very bad direction. But of course, I think that the more people who turn to God in prayer, the more people that seek to follow His will, we're salt and light. There will never be a completely godly society. There couldn't be. There never has been. But the more people who are, seeking Him, the more salt and light and the healthier society will be.
Pastor Keller, we'll leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Pastor Timothy Keller is pastor at Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City. His latest book is Prayer, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.